This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. There are more than 40 million people who provide unpaid care to a family member or a loved one. That's according to the National Alliance for Caregiving. But this and other stats on caregivers leave out an important group, which is youth caregivers. These are the people under the age of 18 who take care of a parent or a grandparent in addition to going to school and trying to be a normal kid. Betsy Olson is a professor of geography and global studies at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and she studies youth caregiving. Betsy, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hi. Thank you, Frank, for having us.
What kind of care are we talking about? Because, you know, obviously people help their parents and grandparents all the time, so this must be a significant difference that we're talking about, right?
Sure. We define youth caregivers as young people under the age of 18, and also young adult caregivers between the age of 24 and 26. Who provide care for family members who have a medical issue. It might be a disability. It might be a chronic health problem. It can also be mental illness or even addiction. And the way that we distinguish between kind of the regular work that you do at home and youth caregiving is this presence of a medical need within the household.
And what kind of care are they delivering? What are they doing?
They do everything from helping people get out of bed in the morning, helping them prepare for their day, getting them dressed, getting a shower, feeding them, and so on, straight through to providing company. Helping to do additional cleaning around the house or maybe shopping. So they can do things that we consider activities of daily living, the very basic needs that people need in order to survive, through to these indirect activities of living, providing for the household.
And the other distinction here, I would think, is the regularity of it and the requirement that they do this thing. They are on duty doing this stuff. It's not what they do once in a while.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So we tend not to think about youth caregivers as people who might be visiting grandma or grandpa on the weekend. Mm. We do look for young people who are doing this daily. They might even know that they have to get straight home after school to check an oxygen tank for a family member. They may know that later in the evening they're going to have to get everything cleaned up and ready for the morning and so on. So, yes, regular care from anywhere, you know, some of our youth caregivers provide just a couple of hours a week. Some provide upward of 40 hours a week.
And we said we have this figure, 40 million people who provide some kind of care, and that does not include youth caregivers. Is that because we're just not counting, or we actually start the clock on this kind of giving caregiving at a certain age?
Yeah, we haven't really counted since 2005, in fact. So in 2005, there was a survey which estimated that we have anywhere between 1.3 and 1.6 million young people in the United States providing care. Most of our surveys do not include anyone under the age of 18 or 20. Those tend to be the common age boundaries at which we consider someone to be a caregiver. So this is a whole group of people who are caregivers, family caregivers, that we do not even ask whether they're providing care, what kind of care they're providing, or very importantly for us and our work, what kinds of supports do they need in order to be successful? Yeah.
Let's talk more about that and get a sense of why it would be important not only to include that group, but also to see the separate and particular challenges that they may face. We're joined by someone who knows about this firsthand. Tuana Mons was a kid, and when she was a kid, she was helping her grandmother. She's now a board member for Bookend Caregiving, an organization dedicated to supporting children who care for parents and grandparents. Also a school counselor at Chapel Hill Carborough School District. Tuana, welcome to the State of Things.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Tell us about your experience as a caregiver.
I didn't realize I was a caregiver, but yeah. So my grandmother, she was a diabetic and she also had cancer, but I gave her baths. I did injections. I cleaned.
How old were you?
I was between the age of middle school to when I became a freshman in college. She died when I was 18. And so you did the whole gamut. Went to the grocery store, made meals, made sure she got the medication. I would go to the get the prescription and bring it to her. I just thought that was part of what you had to do. And you have to extracurricular activities become you know, pretty non-existent. You work to kind of help support that as well. So that was just part of the part. Now, my mom was involved as well, but She also worked. She was a teacher, principal. But you do what, you know, you had, as you got older, your responsibilities grew with caring for your grandparent.
We'll talk about it as a responsibility or your sense of it as a responsibility. How much were you aware of the fact, and was it a fact, that this is something you had to do? This was not optional. You weren't just helping out here.
Oh, yeah. This was my job. This was my chore. I thought that was just part of the normal task that you do when your grandmother is not. But I didn't realize it was a lot until much older. But yes, you every day you go and you make sure everything is taken care of. She's taking her insulin. You call her. Did you take your insulin? No, I'm having a hard time with the shot. So you go over there and you get the injections. You go to the grocery store every week. You make sure she has her meals. You bathe her every day. And that's just part of what you do.
And you said you weren't aware then that you were a youth caregiver.
No.
How did you know? You didn't even know. And now you found out.
Yeah. I was like, what?
How about that? Yeah. I was a youth caregiver, and I never got the merit badge. But talk about the importance of that, of being recognized. Now that you look back, now that you know that that was a thing, right? Do you have a sense of what it was, that what it would be that would have made things better for you and perhaps your grandmother as well?
Just a sense of some kind of support, especially in the schools. I don't think that they recognize how much time that you have, or why you're not involved in maybe a club or a sport, or why you stopped doing a club or a sport. You really didn't talk about it, but I think if it was more open, you're like, oh, I'm part of this category. This is some of the things that I do, and these are the things that I manage. I never put it on my college applications. You know, you had to, this is something that was completely separate. But it would have been nice to have just that support in place, maybe from a teacher to understand that this was going on. Or it never affected my grades. However, it could have. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I had to leave school early, and I would come to school late. And so that affected my attendance.
Well, Betsy, you've been obviously thinking about this and studying it to some degree. What would that look like if you could build in those supports and be more intentional about supporting? What would it look like?
Well, one of the exciting things about what we're doing is people like Tawana helping me answer that question. You know, there's a lot of programs internationally to support youth caregivers. They also use the phrase young carers elsewhere. So I used to work in Scotland. That's when I first became aware of this category of young people. And they have a range of supports. These young people are identified and recognized. They receive special compensation to make sure they can take public transportation. They might receive respite care. The schools are aware that they're there so that they can receive supports like Tawana didn't. So we're working really hard in the state of North Carolina and then nationally with our collaborators to try and sort out exactly what kinds of support people need in the United States for these youth caregiving families. We know of one really successful program that has been managed in West Palm Beach County School District called the Caregiving Youth Project. And that's driven by the American Association of Caregiving Youth. They go into the schools. They have lunch meetings. They help kids think about, for instance, stress and depression can be quite high amongst youth caregivers. Help them figure out how to manage that. They can tend to be bullied or may become bullies themselves, depending on the situations that they end up in. So trying to help young people support themselves and help their families be proud of being a caregiver. And if things get too difficult, so that they have people to go to who can help support them and find resources.
Take the stigma away from it. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of times students are hesitant to say that they are caregivers, just the fear of being pulled from like with DSS or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big fear for a lot of students. But I also think that if we had categories like, we have categories like a 504 or kids who are homeless, McKinney-Vento, we recognize those students and we say, okay, life has happened with your family. We can still help provide resources. This is in place. The same thing can be taken care of in the schools if they have a category for, it says youth cares. This kid is part of this category. These are things that we know and we can recognize that teachers can know, counselors can know, administration can know. Mm-hmm. And this is just a whole thing in place.
Well, tell us more about those fears, though, and why somebody, a student, would not want to come forward.
So if they just say, for example, if a parent has a chronic, a severe chronic illness, just the fact that the kid can go into foster care, especially those who may be older and have younger siblings. So they're not just managing their parents. I had a particular child whose mother was diagnosed with MS. She had a younger brother. She was so fearful of actually, and I was like, what is going on with you? She was missing so many days. And we finally did a home visit, and she almost, I went with the social worker, and she just started crying. She was like, please don't take me. Please don't take me. And she said, I can do this. I can do this. And but we got supports in place and everything like that, but it was just a different way, but that was the biggest fear, that they was going to take her brother and take her, and she would lose everything. And so,
yeah, there's a big concern that it will be misinterpreted as neglect.
Yes.
And so a lot of what we do is talk about it so that people understand when a young person is providing care, they're also gaining all kinds of benefits, empathy, maturity, all kinds of things that they get from caregiving, as long as it doesn't become detrimental to them. So educating folks so that they don't think it's neglect is a big role.
Well, and let's underscore that and talk more directly about that, Tuana. There are great rewards that can come to this. We don't want to make this sound like it's an affliction.
Right.
Having to help,
yes.
Right?
Yes. And what we talked about, especially with this particular child, was like, you know, the type of responsibilities that you have been able to manage all this year. We're so proud of you. You know, we just made sure that she felt respected of what she can do and what she has done for her mother. And I think that kind of pulled her out of the state of fear and she was so, especially when the social worker came. As a counselor, we all like the lovey, I love you, it's okay, type of profession. But when social workers come, not that they're not loving, but that's the stigma behind them because they have so many resources available. But once she became it, she understood what beautiful thing she has done for her mother. And her mom wasn't completely disabled. It was a mutual care. Her mother was still caring for her and her brother, but she had to do additional tasks and stuff with her mother. So it's not just exclusive. She was doing completely everything. I think that's some kind of a misconception as well. So
given the fears that kids might have about coming forward, it seems to me, Tuana, you're in a perfect position to identify these and know the cues, having been a caregiver yourself. How do you advise counselors? What are the cues? What are you looking for?
So the biggest thing is attendance. That's a big thing. You miss first and second period, and you pop up third period. Like, where have you been? And so that's one of our flags or when a teacher may grades start to slip, and you were a B student, and all of a sudden you become a CD, and maybe an F. You're like, what's going on here?
Sometimes the kids might get really tired in class.
Falling asleep. Yes. And you're like, why are you so tired?
You know, like anger or stress for a kid who, you know, is trying to do their best at home. We often make the parallel to adult caregivers.
Yes.
Many of us know the stress and strain of caregiving as an adult. Now imagine yourself as a child doing these things, but no one recognizes you as a caregiver.
Right.
Instead,
yes,
you're just kind of having to carry on your day, and the teacher's getting mad at you because you're tired, and but really you just need a nap.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
And then the ancillary effects of this, right? Mm. So now we're starting to see maybe behavior, acting out, all of the things that are not related, and suddenly you're being flagged for that stuff, and we're a mile away from that.
Right, and
problem.
Then your worst case scenario, you're supposed to be home at a certain time to help take care of a person, and then you're told that you have to stay after school because you've just gotten in trouble. So, you know, there's very low-hanging fruit. This is what Tuana and I always talk about. Very low-hanging fruit. And, you know, our aim is really in North Carolina to have one person in every single school who knows how to identify youth caregivers, to know what kinds of resources are available for them in their communities, just to be able to recognize it and say, you know, you're doing a good job for your family.
Yes, I spoke to, I was in another district, and I was one of the lead counselors for that district, and we went and talked to some of the counselors, and we all had these students that popped in our brains. We were like, oh my goodness, is there something we can do? What resources? They were so excited to hear about this thing, because we all have those students, and they come and tell us. Eventually it comes out, you know, just because the nature of our job, it will come out and say, oh, yes, I'm taking care of this is what's going on. And if we just hearing about this, we were thrilled. And so hopefully it can continue and the word gets out about what these children are going through daily.
And what are some of the resources? You talked about programs nationally, but locally, are there resources available?
Yeah, well, that is one of our problems. Mm-hmm. We always talk about kind of having the cart beside the horse with this work because we need to collect data. We need to understand how many youth caregivers there are in our schools. So we're starting that effort next fall in collaboration with a couple of school districts around here. And from there, alongside of that, we're developing resources, some of which already exist. Again, the Caregiving Youth Project has some excellent resources. Anyone actually who might be listening to the show and needs some support, they can go to the aacy.org website, and there's a 1-800 number there. So
we'll have
even
that
for
on
youth,
our website, stateofthings.org, if you missed
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So, but, you know, we have a lot of work to do in North Carolina in order to buttress this, but we also have a great group of advisors through the Bookend Caregiving network. That's, you know, we're all hands on deck,
yes.
and we all work
and
really hard. To,
yeah, we're really excited
to, make it
to
happen.
Keep going.
Well, Tawana, let me ask you, because I know you've been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis,
yes.
and that means perhaps that your kids may be potential caregivers along. What are you doing to prepare them? Are you doing anything?
It's a tricky thing. Yeah. I didn't think about it until because I didn't realize I was a caregiver, and then you know, working with my students, you just take yourself out the equation and forget about your family, you know. But my daughter is 9. She just turned 9, and I have a son who will be 4 next month. And so my daughter knows that I have MS. I've had it for 15 years. And so she gets it a little bit. I do, you know, the counselor in me, the baby steps of trying to explain what this means. And that was a really great question that was asked because I don't know. And I think about that now. I'm processing it. I'm thinking about what does that mean for my children. I have a great support with my husband, and it's just our family here. My family's from right outside of Chicago, Northwest Indiana area. And it would probably be my children. My daughter has gone to doctor's appointments with me but I put a headset on her.
Well, let me ask you this. We don't have too much time left, but is this something, again, we talked about the rewards and the
yes.
real benefits of doing this, not an affliction to help you. Are you going to encourage them to do this, or are you going to
yes.
be the one who said, I don't want to make
my
children?
No, I will make right? sure that they understand, because we all come in different families, and yeah. I think that's still a beautiful thing, and I think that my children would have something that maybe lots of the kids will have to deal with, and I think that's a beautiful thing of responsibility and developing and being more open to the differences that families have and different things that they have. And I think it makes a kid well-rounded to understand that. But I will keep thinking about that, and hopefully we'll have wonderful supports in place.
Well, that's right. Yeah, we're not going to,
yeah.
you know, this is why we work so hard. And in fact, family caregiving, it comes under increasing pressure in the United States. And so, you know, more and more young people and more young adults are providing care for their families. We're talking about people who are going to be caregiving for upward of 10 years
yes.
For a family member.
Well, you can see what happens. You know, not only do you say in a state like North Carolina where you don't provide Medicaid for as many people as you possibly
yes.
could,
yeah.
so that's less medical care. That means more on my back. But
yes.
then you don't provide enough classroom support, so fewer counselors per child.
Yes.
They come to you with the problem. You can see how this thing begins to have a geometric ripple
effect.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts to, you know, you fear a perfect storm. And, you know, then what you have to add in is our aging population.
Yeah.
So we already know that our aging population is growing. More of that proportion of the population is going to be aging as the working poor and having greater needs, and particularly healthcare needs. So this is just kind of, we're just at the front edge of that wave.
I want to thank you both for being on the program.
Yeah.
Betsy Olson, a professor of geography and global studies at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Tawana Mons is a board member for Bookend Caregiving, which is an organization dedicated to supporting children who care for parents and grandparents, and a school counselor in the Chapel Hill-Carrboro School District. And we've got links to their work at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
Frank.
Coming up on The State of Things, we'll talk to an author about a new book that actually chronicles the life of a high school senior who is also taking care of a grandfather. We'll talk about that on The State of Things. Please stay tuned.